God works in so many different ways, and He does that so we don't put God in a box. Well, this is how it happened to me. So it's got to happen that same way to you. And these are the gifts that God gave me. So these are the gifts that God's got to give you. There's too much of that in the body of Christ. We don't give God liberty to do what He wants to do. But the Bible tells us there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit, varieties of ministries, and the same Lord, and there are varieties and effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons.
As we gather, may Your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify Your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came.
Aloha kako e komo mai. Welcome to As We Gather, the Bible teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel Honolulu with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. Today, Pastor Bill continues in Acts chapter 19 with a message titled Evidence of the Holy Spirit.
We'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because.
Remember when we were back in Acts chapter 9 as we dealt with Paul's conversion? Paul, as he was breathing threats and murder against the church, he was going to Damascus to take men and women and lock them up and bring them to Jerusalem and try them. He was vicious. He was evil. But then the Lord got a hold of him on the road to Damascus. He fell on the ground. He saw a bright light and he was saved. In fact, he cries out when Jesus said, "Why are you persecuting me?" And Paul said, "Who are you, Lord?" I think at that point, instantaneously, he recognized what was happening. You could be saved in an instant. I mean, it's an instantaneous thing when the Holy Spirit is really working. He said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." And then in verse 6, the King James says, trembling and astonished, said, "Lord, what would you want me to do?" Notice that Paul is calling Jesus Lord. And no man can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. He saved. The work of God in his life, he saved. Now, a person is saved as soon as they put their trust in Jesus as Lord, just as Paul was saved. But there's something else. Something else we need to see. You see, Paul's conversion, now was not the time. What would you have me do, Lord? Now was not the time to send Paul off into ministry. Paul needed the empowering of the Holy Spirit before he went out into ministry. And so at his conversion, there's just a lay person, Ananias. We don't know much about him. He's not an apostle. He's not an elder. He's not a deacon. He's just a guy. A wonderful man of God that the Lord chose to go to Paul. And so when the Lord says, go to Paul and lay your hands on him, and Ananias says, "Oh Lord, I've heard about this man. Lord, he's bad news." And the Lord said, "No, he's a chosen vessel of mine. Go, lay hands on him and minister to him." And so you find in Acts 19, 17, Ananias departed and entered the house, and after laying his hands on Paul, said, I say Paul, but way back here, remember he was Saul of Tarsus? That was his name as a Pharisee. But on his first missionary journey, it was changed to Paul. Saul means something like renown. Paul means little. Paul recognized when Christ got a hold of his life, he wasn't a big guy anymore. He was just a servant of the Lord. And so Saul is Paul, but here Ananias says, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you were coming, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he regained his sight, and he got up and was baptized in water. So a few things happened to Saul of Tarsus, who's Paul the Apostle. First of all, he was saved. Jesus, Lord. So the Holy Spirit in him. Second, Ananias, this lay fella, good fella in the church, laid hands on him. He was healed. The scales fell from his eyes so he can see. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. And notice what happened right away. He goes out and he preaches powerfully in Damascus. In other words, the Holy Spirit came upon him and he had power, he had boldness, and he was a witness. We don't see any other manifestations of, you know, speaking in tongues. Later, Paul is glad he spoke in tongues, but, you know, that's not what happened here. He was just bold for the Lord. In fact, so bold for the Lord that they wanted to kill him. He had to be let out of the city by the wall in a basket. And you could read the rest of the story as you go through the book of Acts and read Paul's letters. But do you see the idea of the coupling together, the coupling of salvation with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or the subsequent work of the Holy Spirit in a person's life that is in addition to salvation? Now, here's what we have to ask. What did Paul see in these disciples in Ephesus? Or what didn't he see in their lives? If Paul was around today, what would he see in our life, or what wouldn't he see in our life? You know, we have to kind of evaluate ourselves. I've had enough people evaluate me at times, and, you know, people, you know, they get all excited with some of these things and kind of put trips on people. But, you know, it is the work of the Holy Spirit, the work of the Lord. Maybe Paul saw a lack of enthusiasm with the people there. Maybe he saw there just wasn't excitement in Jesus about them. Maybe it was somewhat of a, they were kind of down. You know, they just had a scowl on their face. They didn't have the joy of the Lord as our strength. They didn't have maybe love. I remember many years ago, somebody said the church is like marbles that are just bouncing together. You know, they don't, you know, cohesive together. They're just bouncing together. Maybe that's what he saw. He saw a lack of love. Maybe no faith and fire. You know, a person that has faith, they're going to be fired up. Or maybe just simply not a passion for the Lord. As I mentioned, many believers are going to heaven, but they lack the dynamic of the Spirit in their life. And oh, how we need that. Some are just kind of blasé, indifferent in their attitude toward Jesus. No zeal for spiritual things. You see, Paul saw something there, maybe a spiritual deadness, because that work of the Spirit wasn't in their life. And so he questioned, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? Have you received the power, the dynamic that makes you alive to the Spirit? Charles Spurgeon, that prince of preachers in the 19th century, first part of the 20th century, really, what a man. If you can get anything by Spurgeon, it's deep. It'd take you a while to read through that, but so good. So good. He said to his congregation, and he was looking at this passage of Scripture, he said, have ye then received the Spirit since you believed? Beloved, are you now receiving the Spirit? Are you living under His divine influence? Are you filled with His power? Put the question personally. I am afraid some professors will have to admit that they hardly know whether there be any Holy Ghost. And others will have to confess that though they have enjoyed a little of His saving work, yet they do not know much of His ennobling and sanctifying influence. Give a man an electric shock, and I warrant you, he will know. He will know it. But if he has the Holy Ghost, he will know it much more. Is it any wonder that when Paul wrote his letter, his epistle to the Ephesians, he said, be ye being filled with the Holy Spirit in Ephesians 5:18. Because what he saw in the beginning, he thought, you can't let it slip, guys. Because what we're going to see here is a manifestation or a work of the Spirit in the Ephesians' lives. But he said to them, be being filled with the Holy Spirit in a way that constantly, over and over, be filled with the Holy Spirit. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit every day. Lord, fill me and lead me and guide me this day. I love what Walter Martin, that real Bible answer man, said. We had him over here a couple times in Hawaii, but what a great man of God. What a great apologist and dealing with the cults and all. He said, we're leaky vessels. We're leaky vessels. We need to be filled over and over. When you look at the Apostle Peter, at least three times that I can count in the first four chapters of Acts, he's filled with the Holy Spirit. He's baptized with the Holy Spirit. I mean, if people like that need the Holy Spirit, so do we. Well, notice, and we're going to pray, you know, as we end off here. We're going to pray. We're not going to do artificial, mechanical, you know, try to, you know, prime the pump kind of things. Because you're an individual. God knows you. I mean, some people are very emotional and some are just very shy and, you know, and God deals with us as we are. He doesn't try to make us something we're not. But notice as we end off here in verse 3-7, and he said, into what then were you baptized? And they said, into John's baptism. Paul said, John baptized with a baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in him who was coming after him, that is, in Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. When it talks about the name of Jesus Christ, as I've mentioned before, it's that formula. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We'll see it there in Matthew 28. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they began speaking with tongues and prophesying, and there were in all about 12 men. Now, I don't know if there were more there, and they didn't give in to what Paul was saying, but at least 12 of them were hungry. They knew they needed it. You see, Jesus tells us in Matthew 28:19 the formula for baptism. So when he said they baptized him in the name of Jesus Christ, that's the formula. That's how we baptized. Jesus said, go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So that's how we baptized. Many years ago, a fellow came in, you know, to our fellowship and just really messing with the people. And he was part of the church. You know, they used to have a sign up here, Jesus coming soon. But it's a church, a Jesus-only church. They say that Jesus is the Father. He is the Son. He is the Holy Spirit. You baptize in the name of Jesus only. Well, he was just messing with their people and saying that you baptize in the ocean. That's not a true baptism because Jesus baptized in the Jordan. And the Jordan is fresh water, and so you're baptizing in salt water. It doesn't count. And I'm thinking, well, Jordan's actually brackish water. It's got minerals. It's not pure, you know, what he's saying. And then he was also saying, and it's not valid because, you know, Jesus, he said, you know, be baptized in this manner. And Jesus hung on the cross like this, and so you have to go down face first like this with your hands open. You know, when people have these formulas, have these weird ways of looking at things, just reject it. Reject it. It's not true. You see, Apollos, he taught the Word of God in as much as he knew, but he only knew the baptism of John for repentance of sin. And then when Priscilla and Aquila instructed him more fully, instructed him not only in repentance, but also believing in Jesus, his death, his burial, his resurrection, and receiving the Holy Spirit not only in them, but upon them. And so that fuller instruction about Jesus and the Holy Spirit. So you see, you can't try to have a method. Here we have a method. Do it our way. This is the way it happens. I mean, you find that Jesus works in a lot of different ways. When he poured out the Holy Spirit upon the church there in Acts chapter 2, what happened? Well, okay, it was tongues of fire, the mighty rushing wind, and then they spoke in tongues. Glossolalia is the term. It's a static utterance. It's not preaching the word. It's not dialectos, which is a dialect. Some will say, well, tongues is a dialect where you're preaching to others in a language you know not. No, tongues, glossolalia, is a static utterance where you're not speaking to man, you're speaking to God, as Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 14. So poured out, manifestation of tongues and other things. Cornelius actually was saved and baptized in the Holy Spirit all at the same time. Then he went down and got baptized, him and his family. And there, Cornelius, yes, spoke in tongues. In Philip there in Samaria, well, we don't see that. We don't see them speaking in tongues. Something must have happened. We don't know what it was, because Simon wanted to buy this manifestation that I lay hands on somebody and they have this same experience, the same phenomenon. We don't know what it was. Whatever the Spirit did, we don't know. And then Paul didn't have, you know, any so-called outward manifestations of tongues or prophecy, anything like that. But what he did have is a boldness in his life to preach the gospel, so much that he got in trouble. And then, of course, in Ephesus, they did have tongues, they had prophecy. So different manifestations. So I think when the Holy Spirit, when a person is baptized in the Holy Spirit, there's a number of different things can happen. You can have an overwhelming sense of joy, an overwhelming sense of love that you never had before. You could manifest different gifts of the Spirit. That's true. It could be tongues. It could be prophecy. It could be just a radical boldness where you leave the place here, you go down to Waikiki and start preaching to people. You know, you don't know. It's a work of the Lord. But notice how it happened. You see, not just that certain things would happen to the people when it happened, but how it happened. You find the day of Pentecost, they were just praying. They were in an upper room praying. And the Holy Spirit came upon them, epi, that Greek term epi. In Samaria, well, a little different. The apostles laid their hands on them, and the Holy Spirit came upon them. Cornelius and his household, Peter was just preaching. He was just preaching away, and the Holy Spirit fell upon them and the household. And you see that. And then Paul, well, just this layman, Ananias, laid hands on him. And certain things, the Holy Spirit came. So you see, God works in so many different ways, and he does that so we don't put God in a box. Well, this is how it happened to me. So it's got to happen that same way to you. And these are the gifts that God gave me. So these are the gifts that God's got to give you. There's too much of that in the body of Christ. We don't give God liberty to do what he wants to do in a person's life. But the Bible tells us, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12:4, he says, there are varieties or diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties or diversities of ministries and the same Lord. And there are varieties and effects or operations, but the same God who works all things in all persons. So God's going to work in your life different than he worked in my life. And so don't try to categorize and make my experience be like yours, or me make what happened to me the same thing that happens to you. You see, God works in unique ways because he's dealing with unique people. We're all unique. We're all different from one another. And that's how God deals with us. Some are more emotional, so God works with emotional people. Some are more reserved, and you know, they don't want to put themselves out there, so God works that way with them. You always see that. You see that when God, he goes into a home and he works with a person privately. He goes out in public and he works with a person publicly. He works in different ways. I mean, when he heals people, a woman with an issue of blood just touches the hem of his robe and virtue goes out. Powerful. You find blind people that fella in John chapter 9 who was blind from birth. What did Jesus do? He spit in the mud or he spit on the earth and he made mud, put it in his eyes. He said, you go walk and wash in the pool of Siloam. The man had to find his way to the pool of Siloam. another fellow that was blind, Jesus actually spit in his eyes. The man that couldn't talk, Jesus put his fingers in the man's ears, and then Jesus spit and put it on the man's tongue. And all of a sudden he could talk. I love it. I love the way Jesus works. He's unpredictable in what he wants to do. We just need to let him do what he wants to do. But you see, you have to want him to do what he wants to do. He's not just going to do it in spite of you. He's going to do it because you desire that work of the Spirit in your life, that coupling together in your life, that subsequent work to salvation. You see, Jesus, he talks to the dads and he talks to the crowd and he talks about the Holy Spirit, but he uses a great illustration. He says, now suppose one of you fathers is asked by his son for a fish. He will not give him a snake instead of a fish, will he? Or if he asks for an egg, he will not give him a scorpion, will he? This is in Luke 11:11-13. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more your heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. He talks about us being evil fathers, evil in the fact that we have a sin nature. That's what he's saying. We, because we have a sin nature, but what do we do with our kids? If they ask for something, we want to give a good gift to our children. If it's a fish, you're not going to give a snake. If it's an egg, you're not going to give a scorpion. If it's a bread, you're not going to give a rock. You're not going to do that because you love your kids, and yet you're a sinful father, a sin nature. How much more, looking at the lesser to the greater for God, how much more will God give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? And the idea of asking there is sincerely desiring, seeking after, adamant, on fire for the Holy Spirit. You see, and whatever happens after that, that's up to God. He's not going to deal with every person in the same way, but he's definitely going to deal if we eagerly seek the Lord.
And that's where we'll finish on today's edition of As We Gather with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. This was a portion of a weekly Bible study from the book of Acts, chapter 19, titled Evidence of the Holy Spirit. You can hear this message again by visiting CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com and take advantage of our vast media archive. We really appreciate any support or feedback that we receive from our listeners. If you'd like to financially support the As We Gather media ministry, you can give securely online through our website, CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com. May the Lord richly bless you as you walk with him today.
As we gather, may your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. As we gather, may your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin, we'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came. As we gather, may your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin, we'll be blessed because we came, yeah. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came.
Next time on As We Gather, we'll continue in Acts chapter 19. Until then, aloha and agape.
We'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came.